The big question, will other states follow California's lead on health care?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll get to the big question in just a moment. First, a couple of items that have surfaced just in the last few minutes. The Labor Department said today the number of people who filed for first-time unemployment benefits last week dropped by 31,000 to 473,000. And it sure looks like check and checkmate for computer maker Dell, which has been in a bidding war with HP to buy data storage firm 3PAR. Dell raised its offer for 3PAR to $1.53 billion, and Dell says the 3PAR board has approved it. Now to the big question. It's got to do with the state of California passing legislation to set up a new market for health insurance. This online exchange could be a model for other states as they implement the federal health care overhaul passed earlier this year. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live and has the latest for us. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Steve.
So how's this exchange going to work?
Well, California will set up a website where consumers can compare different health insurance plans. They'll be connected with subsidies if they're eligible, and there will be five categories of insurance that people can buy, ranging from high-end plans that cover lots of stuff to more basic catastrophic insurance for young people.
So, Amy, is this going to be a model for other states?
It's likely to be. Under the health care overhaul, states either have to set up one of these exchanges or people can use a federal version. I spoke this morning with Timothy Jost at Washington and Lee University. He says these don't have to be up and running for another 3 years or so, but California wanted to get a jump on it.
Setting up an exchange is going to be a very difficult process because it basically means restructuring the way in which we purchase health insurance in the United States. In most states, they will probably adopt legislation next year.
And Joe says these exchanges should make insurance more affordable by making the market for insurance more competitive.
All right. Marketplace's Amy Scott reporting live for us. Amy, thanks.
You're welcome.
BP has pulled out of a controversial plan to drill for oil off the coast of Greenland. The British oil giant today confirmed that it would not bid for a project it had earlier been involved with. Why the sudden change of heart? The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports there are some theories.
BP won't give a reason for ruling itself out of the race to drill for oil off the coast of Greenland. But the country's prime minister says a company's safety record is very important to Greenland when granting licenses to drill. And the incident in the Gulf of Mexico was likely to influence its decision. Malcolm Bracken is an oil analyst at stockbrokers Redmayne Bentley. He says BP won't spend the money pursuing a license it doesn't think it's going to win.
It's going to have to concentrate a lot harder on where it drills. It's going to be taking up fewer opportunities than it would have done because it's had to find $30 billion to pay for the damage.
But BP insists it hasn't been deterred from its long-term plans. It's due to start drilling off the Libyan coast in the next few weeks and says it's still interested in bidding for other licenses around the world. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European markets are higher at the moment. Asian shares rose today as well. U.S. markets lost ground in early trading yesterday, but erased those losses by day's end. The Nasdaq added 0.8%. The Dow closed higher by under 0.5%, 19 points, to end the day at 10,060.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. And by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
Oh no, there hasn't been much good news in the housing market this week, but luxury home builder Toll Brothers bucked the trend and reported its first quarterly profit in 3 years. Joel Rose reports the company's looking to grow more by launching a new subsidiary to buy distressed assets.
Toll Brothers isn't looking to buy that house down the street that's in foreclosure. The company is after bigger fish, loan portfolios consisting of commercial property and land for development.
You don't necessarily grow today by buying land from a farmer, so this is just another vehicle to continue to grow the company.
Roger Brush is the president of Gibraltar Capital, a new Toll Brothers subsidiary that specializes in distressed assets. This may sound like a major shift for a company that's known for building big, expensive houses on the edge of suburbia. But Brush says Toll Brothers has experience scooping up properties at risk of default in the early 1990s.
And ultimately, some of those properties became some of our very successful communities in New Jersey.
Gibraltar has already closed its first deal, acquiring a stake in $1.7 billion worth of loans and properties, mostly in Florida, Nevada, and Arizona. And Toll isn't the only major home builder that's looking to invest in distressed assets. Alex Barone is an analyst at the Housing Research Center.
A lot of these builders, they have several billion dollars of cash in the banks, and that cash is not earning anything for shareholders. So this might be perhaps a better way to make use of some of that capital and put it to work.
It's a strategy that makes sense over the long run, Barone says, but it implies that Toll and other builders don't see a rebound in housing sales coming anytime soon.
The fact that they're kind of diverting away from their core strategy suggests that, you know, the turnaround is not imminent.
Maybe not. Although Gibraltar Capital's Roger Brush says now is a great time to buy, whether you're an individual or the nation's largest luxury home builder.
When we did this back in the early 90s, it really set us up for our growth during the 90s, and we believe that today will set us up for our next period of growth.
But Brush didn't want to speculate about when that period of growth is likely to begin. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, a couple of business grad students at Stanford University have released a how-to guide to know if your boss is lying to you or to shareholders. The Economist magazine reports the students analyzed the transcripts of around 30,000 conference calls by CEOs and chief financial officers from 2003 to 2007. Some highlights? Deceptive bosses tend to make more references to general knowledge, saying things like, as you know, or as you're aware. A slithery chief executive won't use words like good, but instead fantastic. And they use fewer hesitations, the ums and uhs. Lying CEOs, take note. Now you have your instructions on what not to do. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.